This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your stop for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Businesses, athletes, they'll help you. Begin your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. Very pleased to bring in Ben Jones. Ben, welcome. It's great to know that you're still covering all of this because you're one of the best. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me. And they couldn't kill me off yet, so I'm still kicking.
If you don't mind, could you at least give everybody an idea, if it's okay, as to how all this played out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how closely you follow my life, which I hope is not too many people because I'm not that interesting. But about 2 years ago, I moved to Minnesota with my now fiance because she got a job out here. So I've been covering Penn State a combination of remotely and a lot of flights back in the fall for home football games and road football games. And obviously when everybody is up in the Minnesota area, I tend to just appear out of nowhere for Penn State athletic events here as well. But you know,
I always see you basketball at Williams Arena. So
yeah, exactly. They just kind of appear out of the concession stand. But no, I mean, you know, also good things come to an end with statecollege.com. They wanted somebody more local, but nevertheless, I you know, have more things to say, more stories to tell. So I kicked up a Substack, which is basically sort of like Patreon for writers. So covering Penn State there while I do some other things up here in the Twin Cities area. But glad to still be around. It will be an exciting year for Penn State in a lot of different areas, certainly football, basketball, and others. So glad to still be part of the ecosystem. It would be weird to be doing anything else.
So will you be still traveling here to State College time to time with this new role, or is it mostly finding them when they're on the road and when they go to Minnesota, go to Purdue, places like that?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit of both. I mean, my parents still live in State College, so it's always nice to, and contrary to popular belief, you are not my dad, so I think it is, it's good to be able to get back there, so it'll be a little bit of both, but I had to dispel that rumor in case it was still out there. Dave Jones is not my dad either, so
Oh, gee, I was just hoping for older brother. But, okay. All right, so now let's get to this football team. The USA Today poll came out, the coaches' poll, so they'll start out at number 9. When you look at how they have built to this point, in your opinion, just based on paper here, paper there, are they built in such a way where they can be a playoff team?
I think so. I mean, I think that they have all the pieces. Now, I think that last year, in some ways, not defensively and not really on special teams, but I think offensively, there's going to need to be a little bit of seeing is believing in terms of the wide receiver room sort of stepping up in terms of, you know, I think the running backs were better than they got credit for, but I think that they still want more of those explosive plays. I don't think there's any question. So I think so. I mean, I think that obviously the narrative has been forever that, you know, if the playoffs were expanded a few years ago, Penn State would have made it a few more times. So I think that there's no question that they've got the pieces. But I think, like everybody really in the country this time of year, outside of a few programs, you go, you know, seeing is believing. But I think at the end of the day, if you bring back a lot of good defensive pieces, if you have continuity at quarterback, if you have continuity with some of your playmakers, you're going to win a lot of games. And I think, you know, if you look at the schedule itself, Penn State's got a lot of favorable games, I would say. And I think the fact that a lot of the teams in the Big Ten that are sort of comparable to Penn State, I think in some ways have more questions. than Penn State does, and I think that any time that you can go into a year feeling good about all three phases, is certainly a step in the right direction.
Is it at least refreshing, as a word, to talk about a team, a season, after going through an off season where nobody talked about games? It was always about money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice to get back to the sport itself. And obviously, college athletics has always been, I've always found that, covering a college football team or a college athletic department is as much about the business as it is the games itself. But I do think that it's nice to kind of get back to that time of year where it's like, let's talk about the defensive line, or let's talk about receivers, or let's talk about coaching changes, and not so much let's talk about TV deals and media rights. And I've always been a proponent of, I think NIL is in the long run a good thing, but it's nice to not have to talk about that too. I'm definitely looking forward to these games starting, as I think everybody is at this point.
Okay, when you look at this team, what are a couple of areas where right away you say, boy, I see a lot of pluses there, and then a couple of areas that bring with you pause about this team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that you look at the linebackers and you have to feel pretty good about the depth that they've got there. I think the fact that Abdul Carter is going to kind of do a little bit of everything, even if he's made this change at defensive end, it's hard to imagine, and James has said as much somewhat recently, that he's going to get time at linebacker. I think everyone's excited to see what Tony Rojas can do. And then obviously, I think Kobe King is another guy that they're excited about continuing to make that next step. And I think the question mark is, Steve, you and I have been around for a while. When people say that you have a lot of options, that sometimes means that you don't have a lot of answers. And I think that there are a lot of guys in that wide receiver room that on paper you can go, I expect Trey Wallace to be really good. I expect Julian Fleming to be good. I think Caden Saunders can be good. Amari Evans, that you can go up and down that list and go, I can see and make an argument for each one of these guys being a solid piece of Penn State's offense, but they just have to go out and do it. And I think that, we saw, and I guess it was 2018, Trace McSorley sort of showcased how you can have all the talent in the world yourself, but if people drop passes, you can only get so many first downs. And I think we saw last year, not quite as bad, but just sort of an inconsistency. And in their defense, some of that was Drew, some of it was, coaching, some of it was a little bit of everything. When your offense struggles in moments, it's not normally just one person or one unit. But I do think that there is a question mark. And really for the first time, I think, in a long time, because I think Penn State's receivers historically under James Franklin, there's always been sort of the Parker Washington, Jahan Dotson, Chris Godwin guy that you can go, KJ Hamler, guy that you can kind of lean on and say that's where they're going to go to. So I think that's maybe the one spot offensively. And obviously, I think just from a reloading standpoint, you can't get rid of the guys they got rid of on the offensive front and say, well, that won't be an area that they need to solve, because you don't get rid of a guy like Olu and just replace him with someone else without any sort of hiccups. So I think the good news for Penn State is that the areas that they need to sort of answer are areas where you go, I can see where the answers might come from. But I think there are also areas where you're just going to have to wait and see how they do when the lights are on.
I want to tap into where you live here for the moment, because you do have the perspective of what Penn State fans and what they think about expansion with Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. But since you're in Minnesota, anybody up there that you've talked to, what do they think of it?
I think they're just glad that the hockey conferences aren't getting messed with again, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think there's an excitement. I think that obviously, P.J. Fleck is a guy that a lot like James sort of lives on the charisma and the sort of enthusiasm. I think P.J. might be starting to lap James at this point in terms of his sort of demeanor in that regard. But I think there's an excitement there. Obviously, you think of the last time that Penn State went out to the cities, that was quite the atmosphere, quite a fun game. So I think the Minnesota fans are definitely excited about, from a basketball perspective, from a football perspective, to have some new faces in here. I don't remember off the top of my head which teams are coming up to Minneapolis this year, but it should be entertaining. But, yeah, I mean, it's a Everybody jokes about, you know, being the state of hockey, and I think people make that joke when they don't live in Minnesota but haven't been here. It's very much true, so I think they're just glad that, you know, as much room as the Big Ten could use for having an even number of teams in the conference, I think they're glad that, that things are the status quo right now there.
Yeah, status quo in men's ice hockey and also status quo in wrestling. I mean, nothing changed for either one of them with the addition of the four teams. What's your perspective on seeing how an 18-school conference works?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you and I tend to talk about the football and the basketball because it tends to be the thing that people care about the most. I think the thing that will be interesting to me is how they manage the rest of it, you know, in terms of softball, in terms of tennis, in terms of track and field, in terms of volleyball, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think people are not always in tune with the fact that you say, like, Penn State baseball spends a ton of time away from home where they will just disappear to Florida or California for a while and come back. And I think it's sort of this one-off kind of thing. But I think the challenge really for schedule makers, the challenge for, you know, athletic departments that are trying to figure out how to make it all work is how do you travel all these other teams? Because football and basketball will be fine. They kind of pay for themselves. They don't play that many games to a certain respect. But it's a challenge for everybody else. And I think it's an interesting challenge for, you know, maybe the athletic departments that aren't quite like Penn State. People tend to forget that in a roundabout way, Maryland and Rutgers joined the Big Ten because there was a lot more money to be made for two athletic departments that were making a ton of money. So if you look at a place that goes, you know, we're not printing, you know, Penn State football makes $100 million every year, not revenue or not profit, but certainly revenue. Athletic departments that don't necessarily have that backbone, how are they going to make it all work? And, you know, I think that'll be the challenge of everyone moving forward as these conferences get bigger is how do you make it make sense for TV and media rights and sort of footprint, but at the same time, how do you make it make sense for all the other athletic programs that you're driving and flying around the country?
Yeah, because and the audience has heard me talk about this before, but when I was in Florida, I had back-to-back speaking engagements, Jacksonville on a Friday night, Daytona Beach on a Saturday. And naturally, one of the questions I did receive, because I was in Florida, was about expanding to 20 schools. And Ben, my answer was simple. I said, guys, I want to see how 18 works first, because nobody's had 18 before. And you know, I know a lot of people want to jump the gun on something, but I think you need to pump the brakes until you make sure that this model works before you attempt another model.
Yeah, no, I think that's really true, and I think that's especially true when you've got a conference like the Big Ten that's now so, you know, stretched out. I think it'd be one thing if they had gone and added, I don't want to give anybody an aneurysm, but, you know, Pitt and West Virginia had joined the Big Ten instead of USC and UCLA or something like that. You know, I think it would be different. But when you have when you no longer have a regional footprint, and to a certain extent the Big Ten's always sort of struggled with where exactly its center is, you know, I think that definitely is one of those things that, you know, I saw people at, I think it was SEC Media Days, asking about, are they going to expand the playoffs again? And it's basically like, you know, they got to get through the first couple of years of figuring out what this is like before it works. And I think we've seen throughout the changes that have happened in college athletics, be NIL or the transfer portal, that it takes a year or two for the market, so to speak, to kind of settle into what works. So, you know, are there programs out there that would make sense to join the Big Ten to give it 20? Probably. But at the same time, I think you've got to make sure that you're not running headfirst into a wall at 120 miles an hour before you start loading up in the back of the truck.
Back to this particular football team, when you look at the depth part of it, are there a couple of positions where no matter really what happens, they can survive depth-wise if they were to get a rash of injuries at a spot? And is there a spot or two, and you look at the team where, like, okay, it's a little thin in your opinion, and it would be a fight to survive it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive line, you want to be able to have continuity there. So I think that, you know, they have options that they can work with, but I think realistically, you know, we've seen historically that the teams that are able to make it through the season with the same line are able to win a lot of games and able to win big games. I think that, you know, there's questions at corner and safety just in terms of who's going to do what, but I think they feel pretty good about the depth there. Maybe along the defensive front, But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's changed about Penn State over the last, you know, 11 years now, and really the last seven or so, is just the ability to have guys ready to go. Because I think that's really been historically the difference between Penn State and, say, Ohio State at Ohio State's sort of peak the last few years, is that, you know, Penn State's able to field teams with good number one players, guys at the top of the mm-hmm. depth chart at just about every position are about as good as mm-hmm. Ohio State's players, plus or minus. Mm-hmm. I think the big difference has just been program depth, and I think Penn State is probably as deep in some areas as some of the programs they'd like to be like, and, you know, I think everybody's always fighting to have complete depth, but yeah, to answer your actual question, I think the offensive front, defensive line, those are areas where you always want to feel healthy and strong, but you know, they've been able to put themselves in a pretty good position to load in people that, at least on paper, you would think would be able to do the job.
Schematically, for a moment, Tom Allen, look, there'll be times he'll play three linebackers. We know that. But we know that a lot of what he did at Indiana was essentially, especially with Marcello Ball, was play a 4-2-5 with Ball, who wore number 9 for Indiana back in the day, being like a hybrid player. When you look at Penn State's personnel, how well does that fit that model based on personnel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks a little bit to the idea that Abdul Carter is going to be all over the place. I think it speaks a little bit to the fact that they feel good about Tony Rojas in that linebacker room, and the fact that they feel like they have a lot of depth in the secondary. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, the challenge that you have if you're James Franklin making a hire like this is you want to balance the reality that Penn State's defense, through all of this, through all the changes that have happened, has been really good. It doesn't really matter who the defensive coordinator is or what right. time of year it is yeah. or who they're playing. You know, I've said for a while now, until Penn State has a bad defense, I'm just going to start off with my assumption of it being good. So I think mm-hmm. that you want to bring in things that are a characteristic of something new or something maybe a little bit different that sort of speak to the sensibilities of that coordinator. But at the same time, I think you want to be able to be maintaining continuity year over year with what works. And it's a weird situation for Tom Allen to be in because there's a lot more room in a roundabout way for the defense to be worse than better than it was last year. So I think it's a combination of, you know, what are his sensibilities and also what has Penn State found a lot of success doing. And I think really at every position, they feel good about the talent and the options that they have. And I think that gives them a lot more flexibility to do a lot more things.
West Virginia a year ago finished 9-4. That will be the opener this time in Morgantown. What is your view of that game?
I think first and foremost, they're glad it's not at night. You know, if you're Penn yes. State, to be able to play that game when everyone's still more hungover than they would be at 8 p.m., I think is a very frank plus for Penn State. But, yeah, I mean, I think West Virginia, obviously on the national stage, didn't necessarily have a remarkable year, but I think compared to what people expected out of West Virginia, I think they had a very solid year last year, were able to put up some good results, and even in some of their losses play well. So it's going to be a good test. I think, you know, it's a good thing for Penn State that institutionally they've had, outside of that Indiana game, have had a lot of success opening the season on the road at hostile places or against teams that are a little bit better than your average week one opponent. So it's definitely going to be a good test, but, you know, you look at Penn State's schedule, it's not short of tests, and they're short on tests, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you look at these two teams, and I think you can make a pretty good argument that Penn State's the better of the two, and I think that result will hold, but that doesn't mean they won't have to earn it.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thrilled that you're very much involved in the game, and, you know, I think everybody on the beach is really happy that some things fell into place for you that you're right there.
Well, I appreciate you having me and appreciate your support, and I look forward to talking to you later, Dad.
Anytime, son. Ben Jones, statecollege.com. No, he's not my son. All right. He's not my son. Just so you know. But Ben does a lot of good work, quality work along the way. And find out that he was able to, you know, end up landing on his feet and still covering the beat. That's great. And they have a lot of great beat writers around here, many of which I had a chance to talk with on Saturday, as a matter of fact, at Media Day. But happy for Ben, and always gives us great perspective on the show. And every time we ask, he always shows up on the show. So we appreciate that very much. I know later in the week we are working, by the way, on getting Chris Raymond on the show. And Todd's been working on this. But, yeah, Men in White is the name of the book. I think it's out this week.
I think it's August 13th, to be honest. I think it's the beginning of next week.
So, yeah, we'll get it done. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, whether it's a business or an athlete. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.